Dave, good morning. I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 5 to get us started this morning. I want to thank those of you who prayed for our week up at Mountaintop Youth Camp, the week that Kim and I are involved with this year, a new week, Excel 1826 for 18 to 26-year-olds, a whole week, and the Lord blessed greatly. So if you prayed for Mountaintop, know that your prayers were answered. I look forward to maybe having an opportunity to tell you even more about that. I will make a few comments even as we go through the message this morning, a few comments, things that come up that fit in that I would like to share with you. This afternoon is the World Cup football final. That's not American football, by the way, but that's what the rest of the world calls it, just about. A few countries like the U.S., we have our own football, so we have a different name. We call it soccer, but all the nations of the world have been, or most of them, that have soccer teams have been working their way, hoping that after 4 years, they might be in the championship game. Well, obviously only two countries can be represented, and it's Germany and Argentina today. But I'm thinking back to last Sunday morning. I realize that not everyone that's here this morning was here last Sunday morning. But if you were not here last Sunday morning, I'm sorry for you, because it was a blessing. Those of us who, if you were here last Sunday morning, should we be sorry for those who missed it? It was a great time, such a blessing. But hopefully you can catch up a little bit this morning. It won't be as enjoyable because you'll have to listen to me the whole time rather than 10 different brothers and actually some others. We had some young people involved in that as well. But we're going to talk about out of every nation. And what we want to do is make some applications today to our own lives and to our assembly from what we heard last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, if you were not here, we had 10 different countries represented. Now, these are not just random countries that we thought would be nice to focus on, but rather these were 10 countries, 10 nations, out of where we have people in our assembly now who were born in those 10 nations. Pretty amazing to see what God has done. Our goal last week, the same goal we have this week, and that's really to proclaim God's glory and wisdom and power in making it happen here at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We're so, so thankful for that. And we're going to read from Revelation 5. Actually, last Sunday morning, different ones read a variety of scriptures. If you missed last Sunday, you missed the reading for this Sunday. So I'm going to be talking about the verses that they read last Sunday, but we'll refer to them. And we're going to start out here in Revelation 5, where we ended up last Sunday morning as a brother Iji read this in the Igbo language from Nigeria and then in English. But we're going to start at verse 1, and we're going to read some different verses, but we're going to definitely cover verse 9. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 this morning, if you'll follow along with me. This is in heaven. In chapter 4, in verse 1 of Revelation, we see a switch in what is happening. And there we read John, who's exiled on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, exiled because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes this. He says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.'" So he goes up to heaven. He has a vision of the future. Now go over to chapter 5. There's one sitting on a throne that he speaks about in chapter 4, and that is the throne of God. God the Father is upon that throne. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you're going to be there. We're going to be there around that throne, and we're going to sing that new song. Those 24 elders, they represent us. And we're going to be there, and we're going to be falling down before the Lamb as he had been slain, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the Lord of glory. And we're going to be singing to him a new song. This morning you got to hear a new song. I don't think that Joseph maybe emphasized, maybe in humility, I don't know, but he wrote that song last week up at camp. It's a new song. You're only the second group that's ever heard it. He sang it up there at the request of Nate Bramson, who was our speaker. You heard a new song expressing appreciation to the Lord Jesus for what he has done, the victory, the freedom we have. When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing not just this one song. Maybe we'll get to sing Joseph's song, or maybe we'll sing your song. You ever thought of yourself as a songwriter? When you get to heaven, you might be able to write a song, and we'll all sing your song together, and it'll glorify the Lord Jesus. A new song. It's interesting, this particular song that the Holy Spirit had John record, a part of the song, is interesting because in that song we read those words that you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Out of every nation. Out of every nation. Here's a map of the world, and I'm going to try. I'm not that good with geography, but I'm going to do my best, and there's some people here to correct me. But as we saw last week, the 10 different countries where we have people now in fellowship in this local assembly, I know there's a whole lot more than 10 countries in the world, but when I think about our assembly and how we started out over 70 years ago, again, as I mentioned last week, with men from Canada coming down to the U.S., immigrating here to come as missionaries, as it were, to our area of the United States and sharing the gospel and teaching the truths of the Scripture. And this local church started back in about 1940. And here we are still meeting together, and God is working to bring in people from other nations. Not every nation, obviously, but a number of nations. Let's see how I can do here. Our brother Bunny opened us in prayer, and he's from Jamaica. Bunny, am I close? It's right in there below Cuba, right? I think I'm correct. If I'm wrong, you tell me. If I'm right, say amen or something. Okay. All right, so we have a family from Jamaica. We had a video of a young lady who was adopted from Kazakhstan, right there. Big country over there. We also had six young people who were adopted in the same family now, they weren't before, from China there, Asia. We also had a brother, Louis Zelaya. He and his family are from Honduras. Let's see, y'all can probably see it better than I can because my eyes aren't very good. But does that say Honduras right there? Is that what it says? I can't see that far. But Luis came and read some scripture for us there from there in Honduras is where he's from. We also had the Boomans, Roland Booman came, and I think Cameroon. Man, I need a different angle on this thing. Let me look on my thing, and I can find it here. And or maybe I can find it. There it No. Anybody see? There it is. Okay. Yeah. It's green. Right there. Cameroon. It's not actually green in real life, but it is on the map. So. Cameroon. And then Marco Gonzalez, he's from Mexico, and his wife is from El Salvador, which is right in that area, right near Honduras. And he read some scripture for us. Our brother Amin Haddad, he and his wife Salwa and their family, he and Salwa came from, here we go, right in this area, originally, or it was Palestine when he was born there. I think Salwa, were you born in Lebanon? You were born in Palestine also. Okay, both of them in present-day Israel there, and he read Scripture. And then our brother Hugo Berrios, he and his family came up, and he and his wife are from Mexico also, have immigrated to the United States. And then, as I mentioned, our brother I.G. Chukwu, he and his wife Elizabeth came over from Nigeria right there. So it's amazing that here in this one local assembly, we have 10 different nations besides the United States of America, represented by birth. Now, we have other people here who have heritage from other countries, who have lived in different countries, and it's exciting to see how God brings us all together in His sovereignty. And in doing so, among other things, He is making us more and more representative of the universal church and of those who are going to be in heaven. They're going to be people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation gathered around the throne. God brings diverse believers into the universal body of Christ and, praise God, into the local body of Christ. Well, I want to just make some comments in the time that we have this morning on the scriptures that were shared last Sunday morning. And I have a little outline we're going to go through here as we think about people out of every nation. And the very first thing we're going to think about is that God's Word is the authority for people out of every nation. Over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, that was a verse that the six Allen children quoted. Three quoted it in Mandarin, and then three quoted it in English. But here it is in English. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of our God stands forever. And you know, God's word is the authority for people out of every nation. And actually, it's the authority for all people out of every nation. Now, not everyone at this point recognizes or bows to the authority of the Word of God. In fact, most people don't, because broad is the road, and many are on that road that lead to destruction. There's a narrow road that leads to life. And the Bible says there are few that find that. But we find that there are going to be those who find that out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. But God's word, as this verse that they quoted brings out, it stands forever. And it's the authority. Nate Brampson, our speaker last week at Excel Week, interestingly, he grew up on the mission field in Senegal. He's 30 years old now. Grew up on the mission field in Senegal, and then he has lived in Egypt. He presently lives in Niger in Africa. And he's been in other places around the world. And brings an interesting perspective as he looks at the Word of God. But one of the things that he brought out to us and continually emphasized was this very truth. And he reminded us from the final chapter of Matthew, as the Lord Jesus was ready to go back to heaven, He said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, in the Lord Jesus. No matter what nation someone lives in, no matter what nation someone is from, no matter our heritage, our culture, God's Word is ultimately the authority for people out of every nation. Nate has a podcast that he does, and he gave all of us a little bracelet. I didn't wear mine this morning. Anybody got their orange bracelet on? Lift it up there. Okay, yeah, we got a few. And on it, it says, what if Jesus meant what he said? What if Jesus meant what he said? Of course he meant what he said. Do we always take what the Word of God says as from God? And I don't mean just in our minds. Oh, yes, that's the Word of God. I believe that. But in our lives, the way that we respond. God's Word is the authority for people out of every nation. And one day we know that every knee is going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, cultures change. Nations change. We can go back to that map. And when I was in school, you're saying, well, that was a long time ago. But not as long as some of you were in school. But probably just about every one of us in this room, in our lifetimes, the map, the world map has changed. Just in our lifetimes, nations change. They come and they go. We read that God raises up nations and He puts down nations. He builds nations for His purposes and He plucks them up by the roots and throws them away for His purposes. Nations change. Cultures change. Societies change. But you know, there's something that never changes, and it's the Word of God. This local assembly meeting here in this building, we are known as the Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. The Word of God. It's the authority. The authority for the way that we meet. Is it the authority for the way that we're living our lives? No matter what our heritage is. What is our response? Do we see God's Word as the authority for people out of every nation on the earth? Second, the basic need is the same for people in every nation. Our brother Luis read from Romans chapter 3, if you want to look there quickly. I'm going to, probably as we go along and my time gets shorter and shorter, I'll stop asking you to turn to passages and just start reading them to save us a little time. But Romans chapter 3, you know these verses, but we want to read them again and be reminded it doesn't matter from what nation we come. Our basic need is the same for all of us. Now, we know that in one culture, what is perceived as a need may in another culture be viewed as a luxury. The things that we feel like we can't do without, there are people around the world in other cultures today that they would never dream of having what we have. I've got a new tool here. Somebody bless me with this new tool. You know, this is not... Somebody says, I really need that. You know, I really wanted that. And I'm really going to use this for the Lord. But, you know, it's not a need, is it? But, you know, there are other things we can think of that we think we need. How many boxes of cereal we need in our cabinets. How many different types of soup we need to have all the time in our... Now, most of the world doesn't live like that, do they? What's perceived as a need in one culture may be viewed as a luxury in another. And there are obviously various cultural norms. There are various national laws. What may be accepted in one culture may not be accepted in another. There are different circumstances. There are different struggles. But for all of our differences and all of the different needs we might imagine, the basic need we know is the same for everyone. We all share a common need because we all share a common problem. And by the Spirit of God, Paul makes it very clear as we read these verses in Romans chapter 3. Look, if you will... beginning with verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Notice the next sentence. For there is no difference. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone from every nation and every culture at any time has sinned. And we're born in sin. The Bible makes that very clear. And He wants us to know that no matter how different we may be. Oh, man. Sorry about that. Woke you up, didn't I? All right. No matter how different we may be from someone else, you can always know that there's one similarity you have with everybody you meet. Doesn't matter what country they're from. Doesn't matter what language they speak. Doesn't matter how old or young they are. They're a sinner. And you're a sinner. And I'm a sinner. We're born in sin. And we were conceived in sin. We read in the book of Psalms. In Acts chapter 17, we read this concerning God, the Creator. And He has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. You see, we all came from one blood. There's one race, the human race. We all can trace back to Adam and Eve. We all can trace back to Noah and his wife. And when Adam sinned, and Eve sinned, and brought condemnation upon themselves, they brought the same condemnation upon all their offspring, us. We have the same blood coursing through our veins. Doesn't matter which one of those nations that we saw on that map we come from or trace our heritage to. We're all sinners. We're all guilty before God, and we all have the same need. We need a Savior, don't we? We all need a Savior. And that's the third thing I want to point out based on the verses that were read last Sunday morning. The solution is the same for people in every nation. Luis also read from John chapter 1, verse 29, where John the baptizer sees Jesus coming toward him, and John has those followers who are following him and learning and being challenged to repent for the kingdom of God is coming. For the King is coming. The Messiah is coming. Get ready. Prepare yourself. He sees the Lord Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Israel." He didn't say that, did he? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the United States. He didn't say that, did he? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of, you can put any country, and that's not what he said. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In other words, the Lord Jesus died for everyone. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But I want that to be impressed on us this morning as we think about God having people there in heaven before His throne in a future day that are from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You see, the Lord Jesus is the one and the only one who can remove sin, who can take it away, no matter where you live. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never had Him take your sin away. He's willing to do that. He's able to do that. 1 John chapter 2, Roland read several verses there. And we read about Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. He satisfies God's righteous demands against us. That's really what it means to propitiate. God has demands against us because we're sinners, because we're guilty. And the Lord Jesus is the one and the only one who can satisfy those righteous demands. But we read there in verse 2 of 1 John 2 that He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And I appreciate John's heart. His heart went beyond himself. His heart went beyond his family. His heart went beyond his local church. His heart went beyond the nation where he lived, because he went on and wrote by the Spirit of God, and he himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. The whole world. God's work through the Lord Jesus is so much bigger than me, so much bigger than my family, so much bigger than my local assembly, so much bigger than my state or my nation or my continent. His Son, the Lord Jesus, the righteous one, the one who never sinned, the perfect one, the Lamb of God who came to be a sacrifice, God in the flesh. He is the satisfactory payment for the sins of the whole world. He made it possible for anyone to be saved. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14, another verse that Luis read, we see that John says there, "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." We all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." We want to get our minds and hearts around that this morning. Not just a big planet, but all those people, over 7 billion. He loves every one of them. And you know what? He loves them just as much as he loves me. And he loves me just as much as he loves each one of them. And he loves you. He sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, to save from sin. In Luke chapter 24, Roland read some verses there also that speak of the Lord Jesus opening the understanding of his followers. And he said it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Starting at Jerusalem and the gospel message going out to all of the nations. That's the heart of God. Nate shared with us this week that 42% of the world's population has never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. 42%. Never heard the gospel. And that's the solution, you see. That's the solution for them. No matter where they are, no matter what nation they come from. The Lord Jesus is the Savior for all. He is able to remove everyone's sin. We're guilty before God. We deserve to be punished. We deserve to be separated from God, suffering for all eternity, because the wages of sin is death. It's a separation from God, an eternal suffering. But God loves us. He loves you, and He loves everyone from every nation. It makes it possible that everyone's sin can be removed. That the righteous demand that God has against everyone's sin can be satisfied. That everyone can be saved, rescued out of the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin. That everyone, not just you, not just me, but everyone can be forgiven of sin. Marco read to us from Psalm 67. "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah." Why? Not for us. Not just so that we can be happy and content and comfortable. No, what did he read? "That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Lord, bless us." Not so that we can be blessed, but so we can turn around and we can take that blessing and we can redirect it to people from every nation so that they too can know your salvation. Jesus Christ the righteous, He is the acceptable sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, the solution for everyone, all of us, from Adam's blood on our way to hell. Separated from God forever, separated in this life, but here that great solution the perfect solution, the only solution, that we can be forgiven of our sins, that we can be freed from the penalty of sin, as Joseph's saying, that we can be freed from the power of sin, the bondage to sin in this life. The Lord Jesus has won the victory, as Nate brought out to us from the story of David and Goliath. He reminded us that we often think of ourselves as David fighting the giant. He said, no, as Joseph's saying, we're the Israelites hiding back behind the line. The Lord Jesus is our champion. He is the one who went out and faced our enemy. He is the one who defeated the enemy, that we might be free, and free one day from the very presence of sin, there in heaven, gathered around the throne, bowing down, worshiping the Lamb of God who has taken away our sin, who is the propitiation for our sin, but not for ours only, the whole world, and looking around and seeing people from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and worshiping together. You see, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. And even there in Genesis 11, when he scattered the people at the Tower of Babel, when he scattered them because they were trying to unite, to rise up to him, not in his way, but in their own way, when he scattered them, his heart was not that they stay scattered, but that ultimately they would all come back together. They would be reconciled individually, individuals within nations, reconciled back to Him around His throne. Well, let's look very quickly at a couple others. The next one from the scriptures that were read last week, God's plan includes people out of every nation. Now, we've already read the passage here that I.G. read us in Revelation 5. And we see there that God has a plan, as I was just mentioning. All the way through, from the time that Adam and Eve sinned, we see God's plan, which was from before the foundation of the earth. We see His plan put into motion that there can be reconciliation. You see, God is all about relationship. Primarily, His relationship with us, our relationship with Him, a vertical relationship, but we find all through the scripture that God is also concerned about the horizontal relationships in you, in your family, and in this local church, and in all the believers in the United States, and all the believers in North America, and all the believers in the Western Hemisphere, and all the believers in the Eastern Hemisphere, and all the believers in the world, that we might have a relationship with Him. And our fellowship is with Him, the Father and the Son. And John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, that's how we have a relationship, a true relationship with others, is through the Lord Jesus and through our common relationship with Him. But it cost. You see, His plan includes people out of every nation, but it cost His Son. Remember what they're singing? You were slain. We say that word so glibly, don't we? You were slain. It's not a word we use a lot today. It's a kind of a Bible word for us, so we don't really think about it. That word speaks of a violent death. That word can be translated butchered. He was butchered for us. The physical suffering. And then it pleased God to bruise Him as He bore our sins. A spiritual death, separation. He has done that for us. And by His blood, you see, it had to be a bloody death. A bloody death. Couldn't be some kind of chemical injected into His body. No, it had to be a bloody death. He shed His blood for you. He gave His blood at the cross, that He might purchase back to Himself, redeem, that He might buy back to Himself people out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and to make us kings and priests to our God. And one day we're going to reign on the earth. That's the future. The power of the gospel. Paul wrote that familiar verse in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. He said that the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The power for salvation. As Nate emphasized to us this week, the power for sanctification, to live a life of holiness. You see, the gospel is something that should impact our lives every day, not just the day we get saved. And not just the day that we witness the gospel to someone else, but every day. The gospel is to impact and transform our lives, because it's the secret to living a life of holiness. And the secret to one day being in the presence of the Lord Jesus, glorified in a body like His new body, and away from all of this sin, away from this temptation, away from injustice. And now we have a responsibility to spread the gospel. You see, those in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 who heard Him say that day on that mountainside, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." They're not here anymore. So now it's our responsibility. We praise God for those who were called to go to other nations, and we praise God for those who come here from other nations. I think that Marco and Luis, I think, both of them, I believe, got saved after they came to the U.S. Others got saved before they came to the U.S. and came into fellowship here later. I know that 4 of the 6 Allen children have received the Lord Jesus as Savior. You see, God's plan includes people out of every nation, not just people like us, people that are different from us. And finally, as we close, we see that the body of Christ consists of people out of every nation. You know, there when we gather before the throne, there are going to be people from the that were saved in the Old Testament before the Lord Jesus died. There are going to be people there who were saved after the Lord Jesus comes back to take the church to be with Himself. I believe people who have not heard the gospel before. And we can see if 42% of the world's population hasn't heard the gospel yet, then it's a good chance there are going to be a lot of people here who have not heard the gospel. Unfortunately, they'll have to go into and through the tribulation. We need to get the gospel to them now. But God's plan for today includes the body of Christ, the church. Amin read for us last Sunday from Acts chapter 2, that birthday of the church. When the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, believers there or Jews there from all over, from every nation under heaven, it said. And they were gathered together in Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost. And while there, we read of the Holy Spirit coming down on the believers in Jesus Christ and the church being born, a new entity, a body that had not existed before, but now will exist for all eternity. We'll be a part of all of the saints, but we will always be a part of the bride of Christ, the church. And the body of Christ consists of people out of every nation. Hugo read for us from Ephesians chapter 4 about the oneness. The oneness. We've been brought together, and we shouldn't take that for granted. You see, oneness is God's design. You know, that's the way He wants it to be. That relationship we talked about with Him and that relationship with each other, not hindered by nation. You know, it's interesting to me that in heaven, we read, the new heaven, there's not going to be any more sea. When that first hit me, I almost cried. I love the beach. I love the beach. But you know what the seas do? They separate, don't they? They divide. They keep us far away. Today, we can get over them, but still, hey, occasionally, an airliner will go down in the sea and never be found, right? It still separates. But one day, there's not going to be that separation. See, God's design is there to be unity. And now unity in the church. And you see, unity is God's doing. You know, He is the one who has brought us all together. He is the one who has proclaimed that we're all one in Christ. And that there is one body, Ephesians 4:4. and one Spirit, and we were called in one hope of our calling. There is one Lord, there is one faith, there is one baptism, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, it's all of God's doing. He's the one that brings us together. It's not what we choose. I think I'll be one with those people. No. Now, locally, that's true. We commit to a unity within a local body. But universally, no, that's up to God. It's His doing. He brings us together. He makes us brothers and sisters in Christ. Unity is also God's distinction. You see, He sets us apart. He said, you're mine. You're mine, and you're together to be mine. And to show the world that you are mine. And the Lord Jesus said while He was here, this is how everyone's going to know that you're my disciples. You love one another. You love one another. And you're not hindered by what the world calls race. You don't allow that to hinder your love, your expression of love to a brother or sister in Christ. Because we're one. We belong to the same body. We're not going to let national borders, as thankful as we are of our nation and as proud as we are of our heritage and our country and as patriotic as we are, we're not going to let that ever hinder the oneness that God says makes us distinct. He said, you're to be a light in this world. Light in a dark world. A world divided by race. A world divided by language. A world divided by culture. A world divided by national boundaries and natural boundaries. And God says, I've made you one. And I want you to show that to the world. I don't want anything to get in the way of that. I want you to show the love of the Lord Jesus to other people, no matter what the world may say is their race, no matter what color their skin may be, no matter what their heritage may be, their cultural background, their national borders, their ideology. No, I want you to reach out like I reached out with love, for God so loved the world. He gave His only Son. Am I not willing to give to my neighbor? Who's from another place? Might our hearts go out. And you see, unity is God's desire. He's made it positionally true, but He wants it to be practically lived out. And we want that unity to continue here and to grow in this local assembly. We proclaim that God has shown His favor on us by blessing us with a variety of ethnicities. God in His glory has done that. It shows His wisdom and creativity. He has made people different. He's put us in different places and given us different experiences in life to come together and bring that diversity together in a beautiful unity only possible through the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Spirit. And only lived out when we commit to it and say, that's what I want. I so rejoiced last week when our brother Igie, in sharing how he came to the United States, came to Shannon Hills, made the comment that this church doesn't see color. I want to stand up and say hallelujah, and I hope that's true and will always be true. Should be. God's power is seen. And what He has done in bringing us together. His power over Satan and over circumstances and over geography and over culture and over language and brought us together all for His glory. I just want to close again as we... I just want to go back to where we started, Romans chapter 5. Let's just bow if we could. One day we'll be singing this. I'm just going to read it right now as I pray and close. We think of God and His greatness out of every nation. Dear Lord, we come before You this morning. We thank You for Your sovereignty and how You overrule and You work. And Father, we just are rejoicing in the variety. Father, we know there's great variety even within the United States. Father, we have people from different parts of this great nation. And Lord, our cultural backgrounds are very different. We thank you that you unify us in Christ. We thank you for the people that you have brought in to be a part of our fellowship from other nations. Lord, just amazing work on your behalf to work in their lives, to bring them here, to work in this assembly, to enable us to have open arms, to welcome them in and to bless them and to be blessed by them. And Father, we thank you for your Son. Lord Jesus, we say to you today, you are worthy. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Thank you for going through that bloody butchering for us. And you've redeemed us. You've bought us back to God by your blood. You've done so out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you've made us all kings and priests to God wherever we're from. We're going to reign on the earth together one day, and we can fellowship together now, and we can love one another now, and we can reach out and show hospitality and show kindness and pray one for another. Father, comfort one another. Minister to one another. Father, help us to be even more proactive. Help these truths that we've reflected on, basic truths this morning, help them to really challenge us. And Father, I pray for any who may be here this morning that have never received the Lord Jesus. We know that just coming to a meeting, a religious meeting, does not make us a believer. Father, we know there are people that could have been sitting here for years that have never received the Lord Jesus as Savior. We've heard testimonies like that of what you've done. So we pray, Lord, for anybody who may be here this morning that has never received the Lord Jesus, who's never admitted to you that he or she is a sinner, separated from you, deservedly so. Father, help them to see themselves on their way to hell, a lost eternity where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and you desire that no one would go there. But you were just and you were holy. Help them to see that, to understand your righteousness. And help them to know that their only hope is your Son, the Lord Jesus, is not of works of righteousness, which we can do. Our righteous works are like filthy rags before you. Thank you for making it possible through the death of your Son, God becoming man, and dying for our sins, taking our place, meeting your righteous demands, being our substitute. Thank you for raising him from the dead. Father, we pray for any here this morning that have never received the Lord Jesus. Might they not leave this building without making sure that they're saved, talking to someone or talking to you and making sure. Father, might we rejoice with them. We thank you for all that you're doing here. We look forward to what you're going to continue to do. Lord, we are praising you for your goodness and your love and what we saw last Sunday morning and how we've been able to apply it today. We love you. We bow before you. We trust you. We go forward in you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for being who you are, part of this local assembly. Diversity. Thank you for the unity.